CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, and I welcome John Bolton, Ambassador John Bolton, Ambassador to the United Nations in the Bush administration, National Security Advisor in the Trump administration, writing most recently at the Washington Post about the Zarif tapes. If you haven't heard, you will soon, that the foreign minister of Tehran, we're told, 7 hours of oral history leaked somehow by someone. There are reasons to believe it was internally leaked. And these are revelations that are surprising. Not the least of them involve John Kerry, but Mr. Bolton, John Bolton is writing about what we've learned about Zarif and what he didn't know about his own government. John, a very good evening to you. I love the irony in your observation that nobody in Washington can be surprised at this. The Defense Department doesn't know what the State Department doesn't know what the Commerce Department doesn't know what the White House is. So this is normal big government. But you discern that Mr. Zarif, in some fashion, didn't know major portions of his own government. Are there secrets within secrets? Is that what we're learning, John? Good evening to you.
Well, good evening. Yeah, this is very important, not just as a matter of political science looking at the government of Iran, although that could take a lot of effort because it's so fascinating and intricate. But the fact that control of Iranian government policy on nuclear weapons does not lie with the diplomats or the civilian side of the Iranian government under the supreme leader, the Ayatollah Khamenei. Real control of this issue lies with the Islamic Revolutionary Guards Corps, the IRGC, which runs the nuclear weapons program, runs the ballistic missile program, runs control of terrorist operations worldwide, and is running conventional military activities across the Middle East. So our people are talking to Iranian diplomats who don't know the full scope of what the IRGC and the Supreme Leader are up to or what their real goals are. And even since the publication of this op-ed that you referred to, we have a speech by the Supreme Leader that essentially confirms that he looks to the Quds Force, the external arm of the Revolutionary Guards, as the real backbone of Iranian diplomacy in the region. So we're at a critical moment here as the Biden administration determined to go back into the 2015 nuclear deal with Iran negotiated by Barack Obama. It was a huge mistake for the United States, but Obama thought this was the greatest achievement of his second term. Biden wants to get back into it, and we're making a deal with people in Iran who don't know what's happening to their own government's nuclear program.
And therefore, what I take it is that we won't know if we do a deal, if Mr. Biden does a deal with Iran, we won't know whether we're doing the deal with somebody who's in charge or has full information, and you use the word trust. If you trust the diplomats, does that mean at the same time you trust the military, you trust the al-Quds? There'd be no way of knowing.
Right. No, I don't think we have any basis to trust the Iranian government in present circumstances anyway. But the advocates in the Biden administration of going back into the deal say, no, don't worry. We've got all these verification mechanisms built in for the International Atomic Energy Agency. So that's where they say trust but verify. But the IAEA is not a spy agency. You know, intelligence doesn't flow from the IAEA to member governments. It's really quite the opposite. We give Israel gives, the United Kingdom gives, we give help and information to the IAEA that they then use to confront rogue states. They don't generate that information on their own. And as I point out in the article, the IAEA is not exactly up to the job of monitoring events in Iran or any significant country. It's compared to our intelligence community, that's where our real protection and insurance is. If the U.S. intelligence community can't find evidence of Iranian violations, we shouldn't expect the IAEA to do it, which has an annual budget roughly 0.6% of the total U.S. intelligence budget. Nobody looking at those numbers would delegate the security of the United States to an international agency versus our own capabilities.
There is speculation that Mr. Zarif is running for presidency. Mr. Rouhani is term limited out. He has denied it. And yet, John, I want to entertain the possibility that this is a presidential contention to advance himself as a moderate, saying he didn't know what Soleimani Qassem Soleimani, the late brutal leader of the Al-Quds force, was up to. He didn't know about the air flights into Syria. Is it possible that he's presenting himself as a halfway point between the hardliners and Washington and doing it in the course of these tapes?
Well, you know, it's always possible that he's thinking of life after being foreign minister when he can enjoy the cocktail hour and have a glass of sherry at Oxford or Cambridge or Harvard or Yale, where he'll undoubtedly get a professorial appointment. But I think he may have outsmarted himself this time, and that the more likely outcome is that his tenure as foreign minister is dramatically shortened in these upcoming presidential elections. It's not at all clear he'll even be allowed to run. And one would have to bet that the next president, who, after all, is number two in Iran, maybe number three, number two after the supreme leader, and maybe number three after the head of the Revolutionary Guards, that new president's going to get a new foreign minister as well.
The negotiation with Iran, far more important than Mr. Zarif's fate, as you say in your article. Right now, John, there's reason to believe that Iran is working with its allies, Russia being one of them and others, to provoke, to stab at, to in some way incite the Biden administration. Incidents in the Gulf, incidents in Eastern Mediterranean, and you mentioned other incidents that have happened over this time. Do you believe they're testing the Biden administration? Quite aside from Mr. Zarif's tapes, is that how to read these provocations?
Yeah, I think what they're doing is raising the stakes in the negotiations about Biden coming back into the nuclear deal. They're doing all kinds of things that should be unacceptable, not only in the Middle East, but around the world. And they will, as each new provocation takes place, it adds another item to their list of things they can give up, things they shouldn't have been doing to begin with, but things which they can now promise to give up in exchange for more concessions from Biden on the nuclear deal. So these are in effect part of the negotiation techniques of the Iranians, because they see that just so evident how desperate Biden is to get back into this deal. And they're going to graciously agree to the United States coming back in, but I'm afraid at a very, very fearful price for the United States and its friends in the region, like Israel and the Gulf oil states.
We spoke the last time about Mr. Biden's decision to depart from Afghanistan. These negotiations, John, is this a predicate for departing from the whole region? We've tied up the deal. We've solved nuclear weapons. Let's go home.
I think it could well be. Remember, a large part of what motivated the Obama administration back in 2015 was the feeling that if they could just solve the Iranian nuclear problem, that the Ayatollahs would allow Iran to behave like a neutral nation, that sweetness and light would break out in the Middle East, and that we would have brought Iran out of the isolation that its nuclear program had put it into. This is a basic misreading of Iran's intentions. I think the Arab states nearby understand that. Israel absolutely understands it. That's why these accidents at the Natanz enrichment facility and other key elements of Iran's nuclear program keep happening. The problem for Israel right now is it's caught in this leadership struggle over how government will be formed going forward, and it makes it very difficult for Israel to play the part it should play as a near neighbor of Iran, desperately worried about what a nuclear Iran would threaten Israel with.
Therefore, John, I want to come to a conclusion that you can in a mystery. Do we believe these tapes were leaked for the purpose of advancing Zarif, of undermining the negotiations, of advancing Tehran? Do we have a single motive that we can count on?
I would put my chips down for this is a leak by the Revolutionary Guards. This is an effort to discredit Zarif inside Iran.
Right.
As I say, it may do him wonders in Oxford and Cambridge, but it won't do him well in Tehran.
John Bolton, Ambassador John Bolton, former National Security Advisor. I'm John Batchelor. This is CBS Eye on the World.